Yeah. Thank you to Yaakov Benzekane for sponsoring in honor of the art site of his grandmother, Chaya Kova Bas Mordechai, in honor of our soldiers, in honor of Zachus of our hostages, and Rabbi Silver's love of Mirza.
Oh, that's catching. That is really catching.
It's original.
That is catching.
It seems like there's a family thing going on.
Yes.
And to Yisrael Blumen in honor of the Rav's. No, I'm kidding. Yisrael Blumen for sponsoring in honor of the art site of his father, Baral Aaron Ben Eliezer, whose yard site is this Monday night, Comcast TV.
Incredible. So, Baral Aaron Ben.
Ben Eliezer.
All right, Tavosei. So, we should just have in mind, Baruch Hashem, a great zechus to be here together on Erev Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, so much to do, so much to accomplish, so much to be. Another week, you know. Sometimes, as we approach Shabbos, there's a beautiful excitement, there's a beautiful energy, but at the same time, often the end of the week brings with it a little bit of a sadness, because I think I always feel like by the end of the week, I didn't get to accomplish everything that I wanted to accomplish. And if you get to the end of the week and you accomplish everything that you needed to accomplish, that generally means that you set the bar very low, very low. So on one hand, it's incredibly exciting, Amir Hashem, to build up the Shabbos Kodesh. On the other hand, you know, another week of life has gone by, and yet still so many things unfulfilled, so many things yet unaccomplished. But the good news is, Baruch Hashem, there's still tonight, there's still a whole Erev Shabbos. Tomorrow, Amir Hashem, Yishkon Olam B'Sha'achos, a person could give meaning to their entire life, acquire the world to come in just a moment. Halach has kama v'kama, what we could accomplish together here on a Thursday night, on an Erev Shabbos night, together, farbringing, making l'chaim together, learning Torah together. An incredible, incredible school. So yashkach to all of our sponsors. And I will say it's always a tremendous yashkach to Reb Tzvi, who just always does such a beautiful job. Such a beautiful job. Week in and week out. What this man could do with a deep fryer. Mamesh, I'm telling you, it's nisim niflos, what he could do. So tremendous. Thank you, Reb Tzvi, on behalf of the entire show. So I will say, so tonight, Baruch Hashem, we have the great sechos. You know, I've told you, I've been kind of vacillating a little bit about what to do for our next sefer. On one hand, I want to continue with the Piaget. On the other hand, I thought about maybe doing some of Rabbi Nachman. But what I wanted to actually do is a short sefer, although I made this mistake last time, because B'nai Machshava Tova was also a short sefer by the Piaget. So this is even shorter than B'nai Machshava Tova. This is it's not really even a sefer. We'll see. It's called Tzav V'Zeruz. Tzav V'Zeruz essentially is the spiritual journal of the Piaget. The Piagetsna journaled, and in this journal he discusses about growth, he discusses about challenge, about difficulty, about overcoming adversity, but it's different because in this sefer, whereas B'nai Machshava Tova was a sefer that was written by the Piagetsna for other people, right? It was written for his Talmidim, Tzav V'Zeruz is really like, it's like a window into the Rebbe's soul. It was written sometime between 1930 and 1940. And so again, this was already, I mean, the Rebbe was young, but this was in what was to be the last part of his life. And he compiled this journal. And like everything that the Piagetsna writes, there's so much to learn from the Rebbe in every single way. So I thought, now this, the Happy Tzav V'Zeruz is part of actually a larger sefer, which I think is going to be our next avoda, Mirat Hashem. But I figure we'll get started tonight. So I'm sorry, I just made this copy off a safari over here. But to get started on it tonight, so again, Shechianu v'kimanu v'gianu, our Rebbe has so much to teach us. Our Rebbe has so much to give us, and it's a schus that the Rebbe left behind this journal. Because from the Rebbe's personal thoughts, from his own strategies for growth and for self-actualization, we will, Emeret Hashem, become better people as well. So we'll say with that, let us begin. But of course, we'll say we take a moment that our Torah, in addition to all of our incredible sponsors, and thank you for the sponsorships, and to be so, your fathers, and Shem, Shem, Litigo, Gan Eden, Shem, and Aliyah, Emeret Hashem, should be a Melech Yosher for the entire Mishpacha. So we also dedicate our learning for our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. For our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, that even though we are, it's amazing to think that we are coming up on the three-month calendar anniversary of the attacks on Shmini Atzeres, on Simchas Torah, Eretz Yisrael, October 7th. And it's overwhelming to see kind of what's happened in our world and what's happened to our people over the course of the last 3 months, how everything has changed. 3 months ago, the world was different, we were different, everything was different. And now it just seems that the world is in a different place. We are in a different place. I'm Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. And it's important, you know, sometimes, you know, people, human nature is that, you know, it's interesting. Human nature is what we yearn for more than anything is hischachos, is renewal. Now, like everything in life, the desire for hischachos is like a two-edged sword? Is
that
double-edged sword. Why is it a double-edged sword? On one hand, the desire for hischachos, for renewal, is what keeps pushing us to reinvent ourselves, to do more, to be more. The other challenge, but the other edge of the sword, so to speak, of hischachos, is that we get used to things and they kind of grow old. And so, you know, I think it's like everything in life. You know, when the war started, we thought that, okay, the world is so different, I'm going to become so different. And kind of now, you know, 3 months in, we kind of settle into this new reality. You know, we check the news, but the enormity of the circumstances are not as acutely felt as they were perhaps 1 month ago, 2 months ago, and certainly 3 months ago. And it's important that we not let our guard down. It's important to understand, I'll say, you know, one of the most important things to recognize is, you know, we look at our holy soldiers and we look at them as they are the front lines of Am Yisrael. Well, there are many fronts in a war, and it's important for us to recognize that what we do here is no less important and critical to the war effort and to the success of Am Yisrael than what our precious soldiers are doing in the south and in the north. We need an army, but we also need a spiritual army. Right? We also need people, again, who are Baruch Hashem willing to roll up their sleeves. People who are willing to daven. People who are willing to grow. People who are willing to commit. People who are willing to push themselves, right? I spoke about this a little bit last Shabbos, right? Soldiers are willing to do less, to do with less, and we have to be willing. I don't know if it's to do with less or maybe to just push ourselves more. And so I will say it's important to understand that when we come together tonight to learn, it's not just simply, okay, we have a beautiful chavra, Baruch Hashem. We really do. Like, this is a, I can honestly, I'm zocha to give a lot of shiurim. There's nothing like Thursday night at the Piyajatsna. There's nothing like it. It's me'in olam haba. It's just a different world. But we also have to recognize that this is part of our avoda. What we do here tonight and what we do at Daf Yomi, we do it Amad Yomi, Smichas, Chavar, and Hilchos Shabbos. Everything is part of the war effort. Everything is part of what we do for the sake of the success of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. It's like everything else. We have to push ourselves. We have to apply ourselves. If our precious soldiers are pushing themselves and doing without so much, then we have to push ourselves as well. So we continue tonight with our Rebbe. Why do we continue with the Piyajatsna? Why? Because the Rebbe teaches us how to push ourselves. Like any good teacher, right? Think about your best teachers. Your best teachers were never the ones who spoon-fed you information. Right? Your best teachers, your best Rebbeim were always the ones who taught you how to think. Taught you how to problem solve. Did not deliver everything to you on a silver platter, but rather challenged you, pushed you, maybe even made things a little bit difficult, because why? They recognize that through difficulty ultimately comes great growth. So we embark upon a new leg of our journey with our Rebbe, the Piyajatsna, in an effort to grow, in an effort to become better, and in an effort to do our parts for Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. So let's begin. Shabbos Eitzav Zerus Perak Aleph. Look at the introduction. This is great. He says, Ma tov haya, lu yachanu lachios ba'olam hazeh al kapanim od shivim shana, acharei kalos yimei shenoseinu. Listen to how he starts off. How great would it be to live another 70 years after you died? Now, what does that mean? The Rebbe says, you know, life comes to an end. So, of course, he's borrowing the metaphor from David HaMelech that life goes for 70 years. 70 years represents a lifespan. So the Rebbe says, how incredible would it be if when life was supposed to come to an end, you got an extension? So a person is supposed to live for 70 years. Imagine when you get to 70, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give you another 70 years. How incredible would that be? Now, why would that be incredible? We'll say, to live longer? Right? To eat more, to drink more, to do more. What is it exactly that I need more life for? The Rebbe says something so beautiful. He says, Koy mish nosenu, onu yegeim l'chanech atzmenu. Listen, these words are so incredible. All the days of our life, what are we struggling for? I want to educate myself. Now, I will say, his lashon over here is very important. L'chanech atzmenu. How would you literally translate l'chanech atzmenu?
Teach ourselves.
Now, I will say, so about this just a moment. The word chinuch, the word chinuch, we often translate as education, to educate, right? Chinuch lana pidako, teach a child according to his way, right? We call education chinuch. The Rebbe actually in the introduction to Chovas HaTalmidim, which was the sefer that we there was a story, the dramatic story. I know many of you are still in turmoil from that story, right? But good, that's what it was supposed to do. Right? So Lameisa, in the introduction to Chovas HaTalmidim, the Rebbe says, remember, Chovas HaTalmidim was written for students. I mentioned this last week, right? It's a sefer teaching about how to be a student. You know, we always talk about responsibilities that like teachers have. Well, learning is a relationship. So the teacher brings his part, the Rebbe brings his part, but in order to learn, I also have to be a student. So what's the obligations of a student? So in Chovas HaTalmidim, he writes about the obligations of students. In the introduction to that sefer, he has a section called Siach Im Hamalamdim Va'avos Abanim, a conversation with educators and with parents. It's incredible. And in it, the Rebbe says, what is chinuch? What is chinuch? And he says, often we translate chinuch as education. He says, and people think, what's education? He writes it, pedagogy. That's what he writes it. Pedagogy. Right? What's education? Education is, you know, there's a curriculum, you learn this, you learn that. The Rebbe says, that's not what chinuch is. And the Rebbe goes through an etymological search of the word, and he says, what chinuch means really is to unlock the inherent and sometimes dormant potential that resides within something. He gives an example, right? A person moves into a home. Baruch Hashem, a person moves into a home. What do you do when you move into a home? You make a Chanukah Sabayis. Well, what's a Chanukah Sabayis? Literally, again, a dedication of, what are you dedicating? Right, it's like a crack a bottle of champagne, or it's like a christening. What are we doing over here? Chanukah Sabayis, right? What is it? He says something amazing. He says, you have a home. A home, what's a home? So a home could be, you know, where you go to sleep, where you go to eat, where you go to relax, you go to, so home could be a lot of things. Or a home could be the epicenter of the Kedusha in your life. A home could be where you do chesed for your family. A home could be where you do hachnasas archim. A home could be a place where you teach your children how to follow in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, in order to make your home into that place, you need a Chanukah Sabayis. Chanukah Sabayis is when I make the declaration, I don't want my home just to be a domicile. I don't want it just to be a residence. I want it to be an epicenter of Kiddusha. But in order to do that, you have to bring out that Kiddusha. Kiddusha, holiness, never just appears by itself. You have to create it. And the Rebbe goes on, he gives multiple examples. It's not our topic. Multiple examples that chinuch doesn't mean education. Chinuch means that you identify the dormant or unactualized holiness within something, and then you bring it out. Now, by the way, what's the process of chinuch? What is the process of education? Right? What is the least important part of education? Least important part of education? Least important? No, right?
Homework.
The least important part of education is information. What do I mean by that? So, in other words, the point of education, right? How do you define a successful education? A successful education is where a child leaves a classroom, and a child feels empowered to accomplish great things. A child goes in, Chara, ask you, how many things you remember from elementary school?
Everything
in first grade, right? Hey, how many things you remember from high school? From high school, right? Do you remember a lot from high school? Come on. All right, good. Maybe Jonas is the exception. I remember, right, it's true, I told you what, right. I don't ask what you remember. I mean, like, you know, just educate. Let's say it's interesting that at the end of the day, from our schooling, I think many of us, remember very little. I don't remember what Masechta we learned, you know, in which grade of high school. I don't remember, like, what math I learned. I don't remember. What you do often remember, Ellie, what are you raising your hand for over there? Smart man. Good. If you're telling me to forget it, chances are good.
You gotta,
it?
Yeah.
No, you said forget it.
Gemara, besides learning.
No, of course. I want to be clear. There are. I'm not discounting the importance. Chavra. I'm not discounting the importance, ultimately, again, of receiving information. I'm talking about when you think about what is the pivotal part of education. It's not information. It's not information. It's about teaching someone to believe in themselves, that they have the ability to acquire knowledge, that they have the ability to do great things, that they have the ability to go on and become someone, right? Because you could ply a kid with information, but if he feels like an idiot, right? If he doesn't believe in himself, so he'll pass the test and he'll fail in life. I just want to point out, if you want to just like look at everything that is generally like wrong with the educational system, right? Educational system in general. And it's in our educational system, and it's certainly in the world's educational system, is somehow we've often missed like this basic nekuda. The goal is to instill a healthy sense of confidence, a healthy sense of self, and an ability to believe that you could accomplish things that are currently beyond your reach. If you could give a kid those tools, they'll fly. They'll pass the test, they won't pass the test. That is absolutely unequivocally inconsequential. Remember again in the days when you thought that the SATs determined how successful you're going to be in your life, right? And then you remember when you sit next to the guy who didn't finish high school and he makes five times the amount of money you did, right? With all of your degrees, right? And all of this stuff, the guy can't put two sentences together, right? And suddenly you realize that, you know what, actually, all of those metrics that the world uses to gauge success are hollow. They might get you maybe your first step, right? They might get you your first job. They might get you. But after that, it's your work ethic and it's your ability to believe in yourself. That's what gets you places in life. So what's chinuch? Chinuch is the ability to unlock your potential. So now back over here. All right, this saver is going to take us a while, but as I listen to this, he says, Kali Mishno Seinu, right? All of the years of my life, what do I want to do? Ani yigeyim lechanech atzmenu. What do I want to do in my life? Jose, I want to be mechanech myself. Jose, what do we want out of life? I want to unlock my potential. Jose, what's my greatest fear? What's our greatest fear? The greatest fear is leaving this world with unrealized potential. Right? No one ever says, you know, my greatest fear is that there's a restaurant in Surfside that I didn't get to. I'm nervous I'm not going to get there before I die. Right? It's nice to get to the restaurant in Surfside. It's fantastic, right? I've heard people say that. No, I've heard them say it. I'm just saying. Right? Or like, you know, I really want to make sure that I make it to the Bahamas, you know, before, like, at the end of the day, we all have, of course, it's nice to go to the Bahamas and it's nice to go out to eat in Surfside and it's nice to have all these experiences. But failure to actually realize those experiences is not what keeps me up at night. But the thought that maybe I'm going to die, I'm going to leave this world with unrealized potential, that's scary. I don't mean that I'm going to die. See, I mean that I'm going to die and I'm going to come to Shachash Baruch who's going to show me all of the stuff that I could have accomplished and all the things that I could have done had I pushed myself just a little bit harder, had I gone ahead and stopped creating glass ceilings for myself. That's what I'm scared about. So the Rebbe says, our whole lives, we're trying lechanech atzmenu. I want to be mechanech, not educate myself. I want to unlock my dormant potential. Because I know that I'm going to leave this world imperfect, because we're all imperfect. I know that I'm going to go and leave this world a work in progress. But at least I want to know that I did my best to try to realize all of my potential. Liasher, ha'akmumius ulegadel gidulios bikerbeinu. I want to straighten out that which is crooked, and I want to intensify the greatness inside of us. And this is incredible. This is incredible. The Rebbe says, each of us has stuff that's crooked. We each have stuff that's broken. So what do I want to do? What do I want to do in my life? What do I want to do? So we'll say, so a lot of times, what we do, I don't mean what we want to do, but what we actually do is we ignore, right? We sweep under the rug, or we just pretend that it doesn't exist. But the Rebbe says, but deep down, it's not what I want to do. What I want to do, really, deep down, what I want to do is I want to fix it. Just a lot of times in life, I'm scared to fix it. I'm not scared to fix it. I'm scared to confront it because I can't fix something if I don't confront it. But what I really want to do in life is I want to know that I have the courage to confront the broken pieces in me. And I want to go ahead and take my seeds of greatness, and like I want to water them. I want to nourish them. I want to nurture them. And I want them to grow into something beautiful. So I will say, isn't this incredible? So I will say, here it is, by the way, first paragraph. What do I want to accomplish in life? Number one, chinuch. I want to unlock my greatness. Number two, I want to straighten out everything that is crooked inside of me. And number three, I want to water the seeds of greatness which reside inside of me. Three things. That's it. The Rebbe says, what's the problem? What's the problem? We're saying, the problem is, so remember, how do we start? The Rebbe says, if only we could have two lifetimes. Two lifetimes. Why? Because in my first lifetime, I'm busy trying to do all of this stuff. Right? I'm busy trying to be mechanic myself. I'm busy trying to straighten out the crooked stuff. I'm busy trying to nurture the seeds of greatness that reside in front of me. And then, by the time I get it done, what happens? What happens?
Dead.
I'm dead. In other words, a whole lifetime goes by. And again, we'll say, that's a good life, right? A life that is engaged in these things. But what's the tragedy? I'll say, you know what's incredible? By the time, I get it right, often life is over. They will say, because remember, Olam Haba, your assets are frozen, right? Olam Haba, there's no growth. Olam Haba, there's no transcendence. Olam Haba, whatever you did in this world, that's what's locked in. That's what's locked in. So we'll say, you know, I'll give you the mashal about this. We'll say, you ever have that moment when you reach a certain age? When you reach a certain age, and I think for different people, it's different ages. It could be 30, it could be 40, it could be 50. When you realize that you were stupid when you were young, right? And you realize oh my gosh, had I known then what I know now, oh my gosh, things would have been different. What I would have done differently in my teenage years, what I would have done differently in my 20s. And it will say, and you think about this, and how does that make you feel when you think about this? Feel terrible, right? Why? Why? Because now I have this knowledge, I can't do anything with it. Of course, it's not totally true. I could use it going forward. But if I only knew then what I knew now. So the Piaget says that which kind of happens with our youth also kind of happens over the course of life. So by the time I get my act together and I kind of have all the ducks in a row and I engage in chinuch and I've straightened out that which is crooked and I sow the seeds of greatness, I'm on my deathbed. Life itself is coming to an end. So the Rebbe says, if only there was an extension. Because then what would I do with the extension? V'az b'chayim ashniyim, in my second lifetime, my second 70 years, k'vahayinu yicholim lachyos chayim mitzuch tzochim. Oh, I could have lived a good life. In other words, if I knew that I had the lifespan one, to kind of do the heavy lifting, and then lifetime two, to go ahead and now reap the benefits. I could now I know what I have to do to be successful. And we'll say, this is incredible. The PhD is describing over here. Often by the time we figure out the right recipe for life success, life is coming to an end. So the Piaget is lamenting, if only I had life take two, another 70 years in which I could take all that I learned during the first 70 years and now what? And now utilize it. Then I'd build a beautiful life. Chaim mitzvah zachim, a beautiful life. Chaim zachim, af bo mazeh. I would build a righteous life, a beautiful life, a holy life in this world. But the Piaget then says, but alas, aval acharei chaim kashim elu, pitom einenu. We'll say, as we know, you don't get a second life. You don't get a second life. And so the reality of the human condition is, by the time I get it all right, so what ends up happening? You know, by the time I get no more mashal, right? By the time I get it all right, what happens? The buzzers, right? That's it. I'm done. Life is over.
But he's saying it's about the journey.
Correct. He's just pointing out over here that if you ask the Piagetsna, what do you want? This is a journal. So he's saying, if I had one wish, it would be to have a second life. A second life. Right? Not a second coming. Wrong religion, right? A second life, right? A second life, right? Just like there's life part one, and now there's life part two. And a life part one, that's the heavy lifting. Where I figure it all out. I make my mistakes, I get back up, I grow, and I figure out exactly. And then I go into life part two, and then Baruch Shem HaTam, I get to life part two, I know exactly what to do, how to do it, and then I can really live impactfully. But the Piagetsna writes, and I will say, I just want to point out, you always have to keep in mind, this is a journal, so it's written differently. This is the pH. Remember, I'll say, same way anyone who journals know the whole beauty of journaling is you don't think about your sentence structure. You don't think about, as they say, like gibush rayonot, how you're formulating ideas. It's a free flow. It's a free flow. So this is what the Piaget says. If you want to know, it's rattling around in the Piaget's mind. I wish I had another life. I wish I had a second life. But ultimately, it doesn't work that way. Because after a difficult life, when he refers to difficult, I must remember again, this is pre-Holocaust. When he refers to difficult life, what he's referring to is just the difficulty of the human condition. Just life is difficult. There's a constant struggle. And by the time I get it right, pitom enenu, kilakach ose olokim. By the time you get it all figured out, life is over. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes out and takes us. Again, I will say, he's just describing the nature of the human condition, but it is a fascinating description. And the truth is, it's to a certain degree also, I find it that it's very validating. Because what the Piagetzin is saying is the way life, see, we often have, and maybe it's an unfair expectation of ourselves, that we are going to have everything figured out, like, now. And the Piagetzin says, by the way, it's not how life works. Most of us don't get everything figured out until we're at the finish line of this journey. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. When you're done, when life is over, that's when suddenly again, oh, now I see how everything works. But it's validating for here the Piaget, because we'll say sometimes again, I don't have everything together, or I should say differently. I never have everything together. And I think that often, again, that's reflective of something wrong inside of me. And it's not. What it's reflective of is the human condition. Okay, that's paragraph Aleph. So we'll say, look what he writes. Beis. Therefore, so what do I do? So now, this is my reality. What do I do about it? So it's the Piaget. The Emar Me'ato. It says, therefore, what I would tell you is as follows. Tov lo li'odam lirshom es kol machshavosa. A person should go ahead and write down his thoughts. Journal. Person should write down his thoughts. I think you just need some seltzer. Or soda. Soda's fine. That's right. That's good. Thank you. Yeah, it's empty. It's okay. It's perfect. Thank you. Therefore, what happens? A person should write down all of his thoughts. Lirshom es kol machshavosav. Look what he writes. Lo la'asos sham b'chever chabor. So we'll say, don't do this b'chavrusa. I was going to say, I just want to find out something amazing. So remember, what do we have over here? We just got finished with B'nai Machshava Tova. What's B'nai Machshava Tova all about? What is it all about? A chabura. The Rebbe said, we're going out to the opposite extreme. What I'm describing over here is, do not do with other people. Everyone, thank you so much. Thank you. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Nir B'Tvarim. Amen. Thank you. Delicious. All right, so we'll say, so therefore again, the Piaget says, what I'm telling you to do now is not with the chevra. Not with the chevra. Rak lachros es atzmo aleniyar. Rather, look at his lashon over here. Literally inscribe yourself on a piece of paper. I would say, what does it mean, inscribe yourself on a piece of paper? It's not like, dear diary, you know, like today, you know, there's that. It's that tap into your inner self. Tap into your inner self, the things that are you, that are the essence of you, and put them down. Put them down. In other words, we'll say, with the Piaget, also, and this does go back to B'nai Machshava Tova. So, remember again, B'nai Machshava Tova, Piaget pointed out that one of the most challenging things we have is that often there are so many thoughts and emotions that churn around inside of us. And then a Shama is talking, and a Shama is trying to communicate, and often everything gets like so garbled up, and so mixed up, that I don't even know what to make of it, right? I don't hear the Neshama talking. I don't know what's going on. So if the Piagetzna says, take this stuff that's rattling around inside of you and write it down. Write it down. He says, Ulekayim is called Galgoli HaNefesh Nefilosav Im Aliyosav. Well, say this is beautiful. Write down all of Galgoli HaNefesh means like the waves of your soul. Both the high points and the low points. Write it down. Write it down. V'chol atzmusa, surasa hasagasa, v'kinyana, shekansala b'meshechaya, tamon mechayim, lachyos chayi netzach, bekerav ochleo bala, tispashe darvet lavisho. Again, we're going to come back to that, and we're going to see what that means a little bit later on. But we'll say, but again, yes.
I don't understand what he's saying. For whatever reason, a person doesn't accomplish what they want in their first life, they wouldn't accomplish it in their second life either.
Why?
It would make any difference. Even if they knew they had a second life, whatever reasons, whatever they may be, they didn't accomplish in the first life.
I don't know. I trust that the Piagetsna, had he been given more years, would have taken what he learned in his first life and applied it. I think what you're saying is good. In other words, generally, the same procrastination or other things that plague us in this life would go ahead and plague us in the next life. Or to say it a little bit differently, you know, the Ramban highlights this yisod. The Ramban explains that the greatest gift, right? The Torah says that Vayar Elokim es kol asher asah v'hineh tov ma'od. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw all that He created and it was very good. So the Medrash writes, what is tov ma'od? What does that refer to? So the Medrash says that refers to misa, to death. To death. Death was good. Death is great. Why is death great? So we'll say it's very pashat. Immortality would have been the worst thing to ever hit us. Why? I was say, first of all, can you imagine like what your garage and your basement would look like if you were immortal? Right? And that's just one little thing. Think about how much we procrastinate now, knowing that we don't even know how long we have to live. If we were immortal, there would be no impetus and no desire to do anything. Again, we would just kind of keep on kicking the can. So, Nechemi, you're saying good. But I think, remember, this is the Piyajatna's thoughts for himself. He's not talking to me. He's talking to himself. So he's saying, I know me. And me, if I had another life, I would take everything I learned from the struggles of this one and apply it. Jose, take a look.
To him, is a little different than your average person.
Correct.
No, in the sense that I think this, like, he was working his whole life at bettering himself. I think your average person is not. But when they get older and they're wiser, even in that 1 year, they
stop
a lot
more
of things. Like,
correct.
In a way, is it figuring it all out right before a person dies?
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
I mean, at least it's something. At least it's something.
Like
but
the video game, I mean, it's a terrible mushroom, but like, you learned from your mistakes the first time while you lost your life. Now you're taking those lessons.
Yeah, again, remember, I will say there's many levels of this also with Gilgul and different things like that. But Chevra, let's learn together. So remember, with the Piagetsna's highlighting over here, I will say, again, I want to be clear. That's why the introduction to the fact that this is a journal is very important. Because remember, he's not writing a sefer for public, it is for public consumption now, right? But Lameisa, remember again, this is his personal thoughts. So, absolutely, in other words, some things may resonate with us, may not resonate with us, and Nehemiah is saying, good, most people give them another 70 years, and they'll probably do the same thing with the second set of 70 that they did with the first set of 70. You're right, probably, right? But Lameisa, what the Piagetsna says, is I wouldn't. So we'll say, let's go, paragraph base. In Ritzon Chalavod as Hashem, so therefore, again, if a person has, suppose that Perek Aleph is like his introduction. That even though there actually is a Hakdama, there is a separate introduction, but that's ultimately framing what the Piagetsna ultimately would desire more than anything. Another life to inculcate, or I should say, to put into action all of the things, Baruch Hashem, that he had learned in the first. Im Ritzon Chalav Ores Hashem, V'lalos Es Atzmu Chamala. So if a person wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to raise himself higher, V'los sa'amod bishnas hashivim lechayecha kibiyom habar mitzvah shalcha. Wow. Most of the Piagetsna says, you know what I need to avoid? I need to make sure that by the time I hit 70, remember again, 70 is the metaphor for the end of life. By the time I hit 70, I'm not at the same level that I was when I became a bar mitzvah. And as I will say, what the Piagetsna is saying, although he's not saying it, is a lot of times in life, you know, I remember like Lahavdil when I was first married. So my wife and I, we used to teach in a Hebrew school together. And the reason why the Hebrew school model, I think in general, is an abysmal failure is because the whole goal was to get to bar mitzvah, right? It's like, once you got to bar mitzvah, you're like in the Jewish Hall of Fame, right? And that's it. Like, you got to bar mitzvah, shkoyach. But what's next? Well, there's nothing next. I'm bar mitzvah now. So if I'm bar mitzvah, like, what else could there possibly be? And so you have people who kind of peak at bar mitzvah, and then again, they're the same person at 70 as they were at bar mitzvah. So the Piagetsna says, that's what I want to avoid. I don't want to be, see, so you hear it in his voice, you hear the urgency. I don't want to be the same person at the end of my life that I was at the beginning of my life. I don't want to be the same guy at 70 that I was at the age of 13. Asezos or Eifos. So therefore, Piaget says, if you don't want to be the same person, if you don't want to be the same person at 70 that you were at 13, Moshe, this is incredible. Let's at least begin this. He says, B'chol shona ase lecha matara. Every year, make a plan. Make a plan. Tzir ba'atzmecha. Create for yourself the following image. What's the image? Emshimcha Ruvain Lamashal. He gives a mashal, right? Let's say your name is Ruvain. Okay, so we have a Ruvain, right? So what happens? Eza Ruvain Tia. Turn the page. B'shana haba. So we'll say, I'm Ruvain now. Okay, it's a new year. So we'll say, now by the way, whether a person is doing this at his birthday, whether a person is doing this at Rosh Hashanah, or again, I even give you a shush, whether a person is doing this on January 1st, whenever new beginning year. So we'll say, what do you have to do? You have to create for yourself an image. Who is the new Ruvain going to be? So the year is 5784, right? What is 5784 Ruvain going to look like? What is he going to look like? Look what the Rebbe says. Mayu hasagosav, avodoso, midosa v'chol tochno. What are 5784 Ruvains? What are his desires? What does he want to work on? What are his midos? What's his plan? What's his plan? Right? In the silver home, much to the chagrin of my children, anytime we celebrate a birthday, I'm sitting around the table. My kids know they're always going to get asked the same question. Mazel tov, happy birthday. What is your plan for the coming year? It does not make a difference in the silver home if you are 3 or if you are 33. You need to answer that question. No one leaves the table. No one leaves the table until the birthday boy or girl goes ahead. It is fun. I say it's fun. It's fun. It's fun. It's fun. It's fun. I said, we're going to do this and you're going to enjoy it. And this is a happy, healthy house, right? So I make it much more fun than that. But again, I'll say, so the Piaget says, so what's your plan? In other words, if you don't want to be the same guy when you're 70 that you were when you became a bar mitzvah, so that means every year you need a new plan for yourself. Without a plan, you just remain the same person. So what does it mean to make a plan? Who is this new Ruvain? What are his goals? What are his desires? What does he want to be? Who does he want to become? What does he want to work on? Va'ruvein had dimyoni, yelecha lemida limdor esatz mechabo. And Abba say, what do you have? So when you begin the year, you have 5784 Ruvain. And that's now, Abba say, it's incredible. Now, I have a picture. I know, I have a target. I know what I'm aiming for. I don't ever, Abba say, do you know more often than not why we don't grow? Why we don't really grow or change or evolve? It's not because we don't care. It's not because we're not hard workers. It's because we don't have a plan. You know, the mashal I've given this mashal before. It's like, imagine for a moment, you decide you're taking some time out. You're going for a vacation with your family. So you pack up the car. Everything is fantastic. You get in. You start driving, right? And your kid asks you from the back seat, where are we going? You're like, I don't know. We're just going to go. We're going to drive, right? We're just going to drive. Like, where are we driving? North, south, east, west. I'm sorry, 5 more minutes, right? What are we doing, right? You say that you already know before you go anywhere, that vacation is going to be a disaster. It's going to be a disaster. Why? There's no plan. You don't know where you're going. What are you doing for food? Where are you going to be staying? What are the activities? You need a plan. So if you need a plan for a vacation, Allah has come b'kam, you need a plan for life. So a lot of times when we remain kind of just in place, it's because I haven't created a plan for growth. Who is the new me that I'm trying to create? What does he look like? What qualities does he have? What abilities does he have? What does he yearn for? What does he want? What needs to be fixed in current me in order for me to get to future me? And if I can't answer that question, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right where I am. He says, "Kama chaser lecha od la Ruvain ha'dimyoni." So now I have to ask myself, so now I have ideal Ruvain, right? So ideal Ruvain is the image I have hanging, and that ideal Ruvain, ultimately, again, that's the guy I want to be. So now I have to ask myself, okay, so now I have to look at ideal Ruvain and present Ruvain. I'll just use ideal Shmuel and present Shmuel. So I know what ideal Shmuel has, present Shmuel is, okay, so now I have to identify, what are the differences now between ideal Shmuel and present Shmuel? Hey, ma'avodascha v'tikum ma'asecha shal yom yom, so if my ideal is that 5784 Shmuel, should look a certain way. So my goal is I have a year to get that done. So now I have to ask myself, what do I need to do each and every day in order to reach that goal? Then I have to ask myself, am I putting in enough daily effort to ultimately birth that new personality? V'megia shana haba. So we'll say, is this not unheard of? It's so simple. It's so simple, yet it's so incredibly profound. Create the image of who you want to be. By the way, I just want to point out, the Piaget didn't invent this. Where does this come from? The Gemara Masechet Sota brings down that when Yosef HaTzadik was alone in the home with the wife of Potiphar, and she was trying to seduce him, and the Gemara indicates he was ready to give in. He was ready to sin with her. And what does the Gemara say? Ra'a diyokno shel aviv b'chalom. He saw the image of his father. He saw the image of his father in the window. And when he saw that image of his father, I often thought, it's not the image of his father. Chazal tells, Rashi says, in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, that Yosef looked exactly like his father. What did Yosef see in the window? Yosef saw an older version of himself. Yosef saw the person I want to be. And he recognized in that moment, if I succumb to this temptation, if I give into this right now, I will never be that person. I will never be that person. And Yosef so badly wanted to become that image he saw in the window that he was able to overcome temptation. That's where the Piagetzna gets this model from. This idea of creating for yourself the image of who you want to be. What does the ideal you look like? And I will say, by the way, I want to point out, we'll stop over here, but when you speak about the ideal me, I will say, I want to be clear. You know, sometimes you think about this, oh yeah, the ideal me, you know, is like sitting in a base medrash, not working, you know, going out learning 15 hours a day. No, that's not ideal you, right? Ideal you is still getting up and going to work and doing your thing and living your life because we all have responsibilities. But ideal you, like we saw before, what's ideal you? Ideal you is the idea, is the you who is mechanic yourself, unlocks the potential. It's the you who goes ahead and recognizes what's crooked and goes ahead or bent and fixes it. It's the you who nurtures the seeds of greatness. What does that image look like? We'll say, how many of us stop to create the ideal image of ourselves? Hey, and again, I will say, I want to point something else out. What Piagetzna says is, he's not saying create the ideal image that you want to be at 120. What is he saying? Create the ideal image at the end of this year. Right? So it's a new year, 5784. I'm just using the 57, right? Now, who do you want to be at the end of this year? After a year of growth, who do you want to be? Paint that image for yourself. And then about say, now I know what I'm going towards. I have my goal. Now that I have my goal, I know where I want to be. I know who I am. What's the difference between those two images? And now I could create a plan from how to get from present me, ultimately again, to get to ideal me for the end of this year. So we'll stop over here for tonight. Again, incredible, incredible safer. We'll stop here for tonight. Again, we'll spend a couple of... I think we'll be able to get through this actually in a couple of weeks. I don't think the safer is going to... Stop laughing. We'll get through these two pages in a couple of weeks. No. And we'll have Sarah. Also, we'll say Shkoya, Mayriv in the main shul.